I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 352 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
This episode, we'd like to thank co-producer Tori H. Stay tuned to the end of the show. We'll talk about what a co-producer is and how you can find out more. And a very special thanks to Tyndale House for sponsoring this episode.
And now, on to our read-along. We are continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with... Hold, please.
Haps.
Nope, I don't need you to haps it. I will find it.
What did you say? I don't need you to haps it? Good Lord. Stop it.
This week, we will be continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with Chapter 19, entitled Making Hay.
What?
I can't help you.
That dark.
Those are your notes.
That darn Major McD is barely not becoming a fish. Just before he begins to stink, he leaves. But then he comes right back.
I mean, doesn't he earn a little bit of grace period? Because that's the whole thing. It's like that saying of house guests after how many, like 3 days, start to smell bad. House guests and fish. However, he did leave, which gave them a moment to...
That's what I mean.
To
breathe.
To breathe and not smell dead fish. And then he came back to start the whole process all over again.
Yeah, exactly. So he's barely not becoming like fish.
He is playing the game, right? He is, or gaming the whatever. He knows the rules and he is working them and finding loopholes to his advantage.
Well, he's back on the final day of haymaking. They were finishing up. And
okay, here's a question. Hay making. They didn't make hay.
No, they grew it.
They cut hay, right?
Correct.
So it's a strange statement because the hay was already made. They were just collecting it for future use, right?
Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Agreed. It was basically harvest, hay harvest.
Okay, thank you. That's not the same thing.
They were finishing up and prepping for a celebration. Now, the Major also, and as he's talking, I think, with Claire,
they were prepping for a Sleeping Beauty level nap. When Sleeping Beauty pricks her finger and the entire kingdom goes to sleep, that's exactly what happened without Sleeping Beauty.
Okay, so this episode needs to be called...
You're going to do this every 5 seconds because this is all I do.
Well, then by the end, I'll have a lot to choose from, won't I?
You're welcome.
So maybe call it Sleeping Beauty? Or a nap a la Sleeping Beauty?
The kingdom naps.
The ridge naps, yeah.
The goblins sleep.
See, I'm glad you did that because I wrote goblins. Garblins? I wrote goblins a few times too.
We are mama way.
Yeah, I like that. The goblins
The goblins sleep
tonight.
The goblins
sleep.
The goblins sleep tonight.
So they're finishing up prepping for a celebration.
With barbecue. This whole chapter made me want ribs, man.
Oh, it made me want.
I know
not
it didn't
meat.
Make you want ribs, but
no,
I did.
I didn't want meat, but I wanted something with barbecue on it. And the major also remembers hay making in Scotland, and the scent of fresh hay was all around. Now, Summer, if you were around this kind of thing, a hay making festival or whatever, a goblin sleep festival, are you allergic to hay? Would you be sneezing?
I don't think so.
No? I sneeze.
Girl, I have never been. I know you have, but I have never had allergy testing.
Oh.
Well, so I have no idea what I'm allergic to.
I have had some skin allergy tests, like only tested about 10, like the most common 10 allergies or something like that. And guess what do you remember what the two things were?
Cats. That's the only one that matters.
Dust and cats.
So you need to clean better and get rid of your cats.
Oh, stop.
And we both know you're neither going to do either of those things. You're not going to clean the dust. You're just not. I love you. You're not.
I have an air purifier and I had to get
another
one.
It's not the same thing.
Oh, I know that, but it will help.
That doesn't make you dust.
So what I was going to say was, yeah, I definitely am allergic to hay. And the way I found that out was through gerbils.
Wait, my gerbils?
No.
My guinea pigs?
No. You mean your breeding days?
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth when you talk to me.
So I remember babysitting brother and a sister in high school, and I couldn't, I think it was before I could drive or didn't have a car or whatever it was. I wasn't driving. I was picked up or our parents dropped me off. I don't know.
What?
But
brother
parents
and sister
were,
who, well, I don't remember this
you didn't
at
know
all.
Them. No. It was a brother and sister. So I get to the house and I'm watching the kids for the evening while the parents are out. Well, the parents come back and the dad's going to give me a drive home.
Hot.
And but
I saw
anyway,
the movie.
While. Stop. Hold on. That's my alarm.
Was that your first sexual encounter?
Summer. Oh my God. That's disgusting.
I've seen way too many like Hallmark movies. I'm sorry. Lifetime movies. That is
gerbils,
not a Hallmark movie.
Gerbils.
That is not a Hallmark movie trope. That is a Lifetime movie trope.
What happened was, this is before the parents come home. So the kids the kids want to show you their stuff. Like, look what I got. Look what I have. And
did they pull
they
out
wanted
their penis?
To show me, Summer, they no. wanted to show me their animals. And they had a guinea pig.
That's not a gerbil. Guinea pigs and gerbilers. No, they're different animals altogether.
Okay, so what are they? Are they
gerbils?
Rodents?
No. They're a type of guinea pigs are
a rodent.
I mean, they are a rodent, but they're not gerbils.
Okay.
Gerbils are a completely different animal.
Okay, so whatever.
And
they're not gerbils.
Why did you let me have gerbils if you're allergic to them? And then also, why were you topless in Scotland's room on my Wi-Fi camera if you're allergic to them?
Topless?
Do you not recall?
Hold on. Let me go back to the non-gerbils.
But
then we'll
do you not recall?
No, I don't. But we'll talk about that in a second. So they let me play with their guinea pig. And so I was petting it or whatever. And then it went back into the cage and then that was it. So by the time the parents came home and the dad was going to drive me home, my eyes were almost swollen shut. I was not, my eyes were watering. I wasn't like totally sneezing, but definitely I was, you know, like scratching my nose. Obviously I wasn't helping myself. So
super
here I am. I didn't wash my hands. Obviously I was like, I don't know, 15, 16. Didn't wash my hands. I was wiping my eyes and that just exacerbated it. Right. So here I think, okay, I'm allergic to guinea pigs. That's what I thought. Because what else am I going to think? So I held that. And they're not necessarily hard to avoid, right? I just don't, I don't have them. And I don't know a lot of people that have them. So it's not like I had a hard 10, 20 years. But then a number of years later, I had different experiences around hay. And I had the same reaction. So I'm like, oh, guinea pigs are all about the hay. So I was reacting to the hay, not the guinea pigs. So
yeah,
no.
It depends on the shavings you line your
yes.
environment with. However, I do want to remind you right now that at one point I had a Wi-Fi camera in my daughter's bedroom where my guinea pigs lived when we lived together. And I pulled it up one day when I was at work and you walked into the room to look at the guinea pigs without a shirt on. And you were standing there in just your bra and your pants.
Oh, at least I had a bra on, thank God.
Interacting with my guinea pigs. And I sent you a text message and I was like, what are you doing? And you were like, what are you talking about? I was like, you're in my daughter's bedroom without a shirt on in front of the Wi-Fi camera. What are you doing? And you did what you just did now. You just laughed and left the room and never did it again because you then recognized that there was a Wi-Fi camera that could be turned on at any point in time.
Yes.
If you had the right coordinates.
I'm so glad I'm the editor here.
Uh-huh. It should stay. Uh-huh. This should stay.
We'll see. Maybe for our Patreon supporters. Anyway, so I found out through other experiences, like literally I used to work at a facility that was across the street, kind of in the country, that was across the street from hay fields, acres and acres of hay fields. And when they would harvest the hay, and then when the hay got, you know, really, really tall or whatever,
hey.
I would have, if I go for a walk outside, I'm out around it for, you know, a length of time. If I just walk outside, walk to my car, I won't usually be affected. But if I'm out for like, you know, 30 minutes or something, and I'm constantly, you know, and the wind's in the right direction, I will have a reaction. I have no anaphylaxis, nothing like that. But it's just like, it's almost like hay fever, right? You sneeze, your eye, my eye.
You are such a cliche.
I know.
Hay fever. Shame on you.
So I would not be around haymaking, unfortunately. I might join them for the party, but only if I wasn't going to be like sitting, you know, like sneezing on hay.
I honestly just have a hard time. Clearly, they were able to make hay in North Carolina, but the summers that I lived in North Carolina were so wet that I have a hard time imagining anything drying out while still in the fields.
Even in the summertime?
Yeah. It rains every day.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And I mean, I was in like the Smoky Mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains kind of an area on the Cherokee Reservation, and it rained. Like, it was like a temporal rainforest. Like, it rained every day. So I have a hard time believing anything dries out there because it's literally always green. Always.
Why don't you contact Diana?
I mean, I won't. There's clearly other places. I mean, I don't know, but I don't know what the actual ridge is like. I just know what
it's not there.
Other places are like, exactly. The ridge is not on the Cherokee Reservation, and that's the only thing.
Well, I didn't
actually
even mean that. I just
meant
it's fictional. But yeah, that
well,
too.
It's fictional, but it's also fictionally not located in the location where
you were,
where I was. So I can't speak for Diana. I can only speak for how the places I was in
were.
I hate you. The places,
what?
Because you're correcting my grammar and sometimes
I'm not correcting.
I don't.
I'm finishing. Summer,
are you?
I'm finishing your sentence. You
I
didn't
said
say
was
the verb.
And you said
oh,
were.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Yeah. When you listen back, you'll hear me say was twice and you correct me with were twice. So
I didn't hear that.
Clearly. So point being, the places where I was located in the summertime of North Carolina were never dry for a whole day. Anyway, that being said, I have a hard time imagining it being dry enough to make hay.
It's a good
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying I did not experience that.
So our friends in North Carolina in the mountains, have you experienced dryness?
Dryness? Is this a menopause conversation?
I'm just coming up with them today, aren't
I? How's your estrogen level, my friends who live in North Carolina? Are you on a menopausal regimen?
No.
Is that a thing?
The major.
How dry is your hay?
Oh, God.
Oh, hey. How dry are you?
The major is happy that he came at a good time.
A dry time. A nice dry time so they could make hay. How convenient for the major.
But Claire wants him to eat. She's
eat
like
what, Ginger.
The food that they're having for the celebration.
Is it
she
dry?
Says, I want you to eat. That's good. I want you to celebrate with us. But to talk shop with Jammy?
Did he make preserve? Are there preserves involved? Jammy?
To make the dog shop with Jamie? No. She's like, she's like, that's tomorrow, dude. Tonight?
What? Drink your cider, bitch. Exactly. Jamie's asleep. Come back later. Tomorrow.
And then Major McDonald sees Bobby Higgins, who's coming up the ridge.
Bobby, man. He is making problems.
And he offers to basically squash him. And Claire's all, no, please.
You are dying right now, and I can't even handle it. Ooh, ooh girl. Breathe.
And Claire says,
breathe. There's no hay here. Breathe.
Claire says, you know, please don't squash him. He's our guest.
Mm-hmm. But she could have squashed him herself if she wanted to. Because he was
Lizzie? Is Lizzie here? Can I go see her?
And she's like, bitch, she is engaged. And he's like, no, it's cool.
That's true.
I just want to be nice because she did nice things for me.
So Bobby was smart as having not decided to join the major on the path because they were traveling around the same time. At the same time, he kept his distance.
I'm going to squash you.
Bobby Higgins knew better than to go around the major.
Fucking Bobby.
So Bobby reports his bum is great.
Of course it is.
No more troubles with the grape.
Fantastic. I'm so glad about your butt, Bobby.
Then he asks he asks about McDonald. Like, do you know that guy over there? Da, 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 da. And Bobby says he has a letter from Lord John. And he asks about Lizzie.
Why are we talking about butt stuff and then Lord John? Come on.
Oh, summer.
Look, Diana wrote it. Thanks, Diana. Like, you literally kept in a theme.
She did. And he wants to talk to Lizzie. But Claire reminds him, or tells him, maybe he didn't know. Claire tells him that, are we Lizzie? She's betrothed, dude. So we'll have to see how this whole thing goes down.
Totally. She's quote unquote betrothed, but she's clearly not super into it. She chose the lesser of two evils, but she's clearly not soups into it because she's still talking to rando unmarried men alone in the firelight away from people.
But she won't be talking to the goblins, so they're safe from her because they're Protestant.
And they don't talk to anybody.
I know. Well, they actually start to mix here. So Jamie and the dudes had helped the newcomers learn how to reap the hay. Because they had, again, remember I said they were clueless. They weren't stupid. They were clueless because they were fisher folk.
Yeah, they did a great job. There was only minor injuries. Like, she's like,
no one lost a hand.
And they were minor.
Yep.
Are you looking to fill your Droughtlander time with the Diana Gabaldone approved book? Look no further than Lori Benton's historical novel, Mountain Laurel.
I've found Mountain Laurel to be an intriguing story about a young Scotsman, Ian Cameron, who returns from frontier trapping to the sweeping landscape of Mountain Laurel in 1793. Now, the book is named for Ian's uncle's North Carolina plantation, Mountain Laurel. And when he arrives there, Ian meets Shona, a woman who is beautiful, artistic, but also enslaved to his kin. As Ian's fascination with Shona turns to love, forces outside their control work to keep them apart, unearthing hurtful secrets and setting the course for generations to come.
Diana Gabaldone calls Mountain Laurel a fascinating story, rich in emotion and a sense of time and culture in which it takes place. Mountain Laurel is available in hardcover, softcover, ebook, and audiobook at your favorite book retailer.
Now, once I read that Diana had provided such a review, I was already interested in the historical time period of this novel, of course, given the similar backdrops and in time and place. And once I got into it, I couldn't wait to find out more about Ian's family, his background, and the future of Mountain Laurel and all who reside in it.
The publisher is offering an additional 10% off the softcover and hardcover versions of Mountain Laurel to our listeners by going to Tyndale.com and using the code Outlander.
That's Tyndale, TYNDALE.com, and use the code Outlander at checkout for an extra 10% off of Mountain Laurel through the end of September.
But before they can drink the cider that they actually will drink, because they won't drink the hard stuff.
Everybody.
Jamie leaves them.
Cider is still hard stuff. It's not like it's not like it's apple juice. It's just fermented. Exactly. It's alcohol, 100%.
Yes.
Which is why everyone goes to sleep, because they're already tired. And then when you introduce alcohol into an exhausted body, it's like, night, night.
And before they drink, though, as I said, Jamie leads them in a long prayer.
And Roger's behest.
Yes. He'd agreed on what type of prayer with Roger beforehand, so as not to come off too papist to the goblins.
Stop calling them goblins.
You did it, too. I like it.
Okay.
At the end, Roger says, amen. And McD calls Slanja.
McD. So, come on.
Yeah.
You're calling him McPenis to me right now.
What?
It's making a lot of bridges weird I was things. Not expecting.
Jamie sits down by Claire and he eats. He's finally able to sit and relax. And they chat about all the people. And Lizzie is over with the McGillivrees. Frau Uta had her eye on Lizzie's dad. So more possible matchmaking. She definitely is.
Because she doesn't want him living in her house. That's exactly what I read from this chapter. Because she was like, if Lizzie gets married and Lizzie is Mr. Weems's whole life, the only other option other than matchmaking is for him to come and live in this house and we'll have to find room for you at our house. But if we can pair him off with some new rando, then they can make their own house and not live in ours. That's the entire plot there.
But it's also not a bad get. It may be partly selfish, but it's also, you know, not a bad thing for Joseph Weems. He gets a lover.
He may not want that. What if he doesn't want that? He might want it, but what if he doesn't? What if he literally is like, I love my wife. I'm sad she's dead. I don't ever want to marry again. I just want to make sure my daughter is happy. And now this rando German lady is ruling my life and introducing me to random women. It's the what happens. And that would be awful if that's not what I wanted. If I was not open to that, I'd be like, stop it.
Frau Uta is definitely the puppet master, as Diana calls her.
For sure. Pupa. Pupa Meister.
So thankfully, there seemed to be more blending. And that's what I was getting at earlier among the tenants. Goblins sitting with non-goblins. Claire is watching all the goblins drinking.
Girl. When I first called them goblins, I was referring to the people who already lived on the ridge. And you're calling all of the Protestants goblins. Which is the opposite of what I was saying originally.
Oh, that's right. Because I said ridge dwellers,
yeah.
And you said you make him sound like goblins. Oh, okay. So y'all, I will try to reverse this mid course, but in future episodes, because I've already taken my notes, I will correct that.
I'm just saying the Protestants were not the goblins. No, they were the ones who were going to be living with the goblins.
So this sentence is actually not incorrect. Goblins are sitting with non-goblins.
But it's not correct in the way you thought it was.
No, but it still works for right now. This one's incorrect.
That's fine.
I will correct it, though. Claire is watching all the non-goblins drinking and is just counting down the minutes until they fall down drunk and sleepy.
Right. I do that every time I go to a party.
Which is every never.
Which is not at all in 6 months. No, I'm sorry.
So Lizzie,
9 months, because it's now September and I haven't gone to a party
since
before Christmas.
Lizzie and Bobby are alone chatting. Jamie doesn't think Claire should get involved. Quote, if we Manfred will not take the trouble to guard his woman, it's no your place to do it for him. Unquote.
He's not wrong, but the outburst and craziness that could happen without her doing that would be worse than her doing that.
There's crazy that happens later on, as you know, that is not even caused by this, but yes. So what if Uta, and this kind of changes Jamie's mind, but what if Uta or Joseph should see them?
Exactly. Uta's a biatch. She is a big personality and she will make a giant scene and the Protestants are new and they're skittish. And the last thing that Claire and Jamie need on their property is that. Absolutely.
Yes. So he hires Ian for the job.
Poor Ian.
So what
he just ate and he was just like, relaxing. I'm so full and I'm enjoying being full and I'm maybe half asleep because I've been drinking cider. But oh, you looked at me funny. Okay. What do you need me to do?
What I find interesting is that once Ian realizes what Jamie wants of him, he, quote, slowly rose to his feet and pulled the binding off his hair, casually shoving it back with one hand, unquote. He walked toward her. So then I was like, wait, is Ian trying to flirt? Shake out my mane, girl. This is for you.
Well, yes and no. I know that he knows his effect on Lizzie.
On Lizzie, yeah.
Because she pined for him when he left. I know that he knows his effect on Lizzie. However, he also knows that he wants none of that. So he is trying to ride that fine line between this is the effect that I need and what I have to do to get what I need. However, I need to be just enough on this side of that line so that later she can't be mad at me when I enticed her away from the person who may or may not have been a potential beau.
Rollo was gnawing Ian's leftover bones contentedly.
Me super me too. Hardcore.
It's
because
dangerous. Dangerous.
Y'all, I have been reading and I've only been reading because I've been barbecuing and cooking meat with bones in it. And I can't give them to my dog because they become brittle. My experience is that I cook a lot of bone in meat. And I have a lot of bones that I have to throw in the garbage because when you cook them, any bones, they become brittle. And once you have brittle bones, they become sharp, fractural kind of items that go into their body, which can then cut their intestines and their entire intestinal tract up, which could kill them. So it's not worth it to me to give a bone to a dog who would really love it. I would rather give him cooked meat. I would rather give him a bowl of stew when we have a bowl of stew than a bone that I pulled out of said stew. Because it's not worth it to me if he dies because his whole intestinal tract is cut up with shards of bone. And it made me sad when I read this because they don't know any better. This is the 1700s. They have a bone. The dog likes to eat it. Let the dog chew on the bone. They don't know. And I've had really long conversations and internet searches as to what kinds of bones I can give to the dog who clearly wants bones. And that's like, it has to be... It can't be cooked. It has to be a raw bone, which is really frustrating because I don't have a lot of raw bones. But that means that all the things that I like eating that are on the bone have to go in the garbage, which is hateful because that feels wasteful to me. Because if they can actually consume bones and they enjoy them, then I'm throwing them in the garbage for nothing. However, if they break them like bird bones, like you can never have chicken bones. Dogs can never have chicken bones because they're hollow and they shatter and they make fragmenty things that chop them up inside. But the bigger bones still can't be cooked. But I'm not going to cut all of my meat off of bones if I'm not making stew. Because otherwise, ribs and a lot of steaks and things that have bone in are way more flavorful because of the bones. So those bones are being thrown in the garbage and it makes me sad, but I'd also rather have my dog with me than be happy to eat my bones. So this chapter hurt my feelings because I was like, what is happening? Stop feeding them bones. They were cooked. They were barbecued. They were slow cooked in some way over a fire. Those are not acceptable for your dogs. How many dogs died? That's what I want to know. How many dogs died?
That's a question
died?
For Diana.
Diana needs to listen to our podcast and tell me how many dogs died because everyone gave them their bones in the 1700s. Like, it's an acceptable thing because at the time, if you didn't know any better and your dog was hungry and you're like, I have this bone and they really want it, they can have it. How many dogs had to die until somebody said, hey, these cooked bones aren't good for our dogs because they are like shrapnel? So what happened to lead us to this point that we care about it now? Medicine? Science? I don't know.
The field of veterinary medicine, maybe?
That was a super long rant for something that no one cares about. And I mean, everyone cares about it a little bit, but nobody cares about the rant for this because this is a small moment in this chapter. But it literally was like a red light.
It was shocking. If anyone has a dog and knows about the bones issue... Yeah, I'm sure they had that reaction. I don't even have a dog, and I did. I would not give my cats, obviously not huge bones. Actually, big bones that are half their size would probably be safe for them because they can't do anything. But yeah, bird bones, chicken bones would also kill a cat potentially. So
but
yeah,
cats,
no.
Well, nah, I'm going to take that back because I was like, but cats eat birds. I was like, yes, but they never get cooked before they eat them. They eat them raw.
That's true. I didn't think about that. You're right. So Rollo was contentedly gnawing on Ian's discarded bones.
And he didn't die. We love him that he didn't die. Thank you for being not a regular, I ate a shard of bone and died dog.
And Roger and Bree were relaxing.
As you do.
Jamie was lying.
No, but every time they mentioned Roger, I got sad. Because every time she mentioned Roger, they always talked about his visible
scar.
And I was like, I was sad for several reasons. One, because that's awful that he got hung. Two,
he was hanged.
I also feel, stop it. I also feel upset about the fact that the show just let it go.
and they never talked about it again. So that's never going to be something that's ever touched on ever again in the series. They've let it go. He talks normal now, so we're fine. He can't scream, maybe, and he can't sing, but he definitely just talks normal. So that's something they've let go.
Such a loss.
Which is cool. It's a loss. Okay. But I also understand that it's easier production-wise to not have that be a thing. I understand it. As a book reader, I mourn it a little bit because it was such a prevalent thing. And knowing how much Meryl cares about the books, the things that she allows to be let go, like, boggle me. Because I'm not in the same... I'm not there. I'm not in the meetings. Yeah. I don't know all
we're
of
not
the reasons
in the
they
room
have.
Where it happens.
Obviously. Yes. We're not in the room where it happens. So I don't know the whys, the whens, the hows, the whatevers. I can only say that because when something is repeatedly mentioned in the source material, it is weird to choose to just, that's the thing.
Through book 8.
Right?
Correct.
That's the thing. That's the thing we're never going to mention again.
Lizzie sure does cause trouble.
Ugh.
The Beardsley twins are now stalking Bobby.
Mm-hmm, poor Bobby.
McD joins Jamie
Stop
and Claire.
McD. That's like McDick. You're telling me that his name is Penis with an Irish accent.
Penis.
Exactly. It's just Ginger. It is exactly like the fact that I can't hear the word phrase tankless water heater without thinking that it is Irish for a thankless water heater. Every time someone says, it's a tankless water heater, I'm like, that sounds like a thankless water heater. Because to me, that is an Irish pronunciation of that term. And it makes me laugh.
So Claire asks
Stop being so tankless.
If he's still working for the Gov. Now, this is a new Gov. This is not the old Gov. This is a new Gov, I think, Josiah Martin. He asks Claire if Jamie had any knowledge of the burnings or burnings. And Claire's like, now awake and sober. Excuse me, what? There are more? And he's like, yeah. Two more that he knows of. One was likely a barn burning, and the other was of a home with a man in it who was living alone. The home was over the treaty line. So the implication that he's laying out is that the Cherokee were upset. So he thinks, no, sorry, the Cherokee were upset, he says. But he's thinking that maybe Jamie could go inspect the place and see if they could tell, like, little, do some forensics maybe, and then maybe meet with the Cherokee. Who knows? So all this talk of burnings makes Claire think of the burning to come. And she thinks of the newspaper article clipping, January 21st, 1776. She'd always thought that it would be some kind of accident. She hadn't ever considered that it might be arson. And so all of these thoughts are coming up in her mind. And recapping the prayer from earlier that day, Jamie says, stand between me and all things grisly. And McD echoes Slanger.
Stop calling him McD. Every time you say it, I'm hearing Dick. Please just say McDo or Jamie.
McDo.
Or something else.
It's McDonald.
Okay, well, that's even worse because I'm thinking you're just saying McDick and I don't know who you're talking about.
It's a dude.
Oh, just say McDonald, please. It's not. It's one extra syllable and it doesn't confuse me.
You're not done.
Yes, I am.
Was that it?
That's it.
We're ending on me screaming about you calling him McD?
That was your choice.
Motherfucker. All right.
And this is so much. Oh, Lord.
And that was chapter 20.
We're ending with me screaming about penis?
Uh-huh. And it's fair. That's true.
She's screaming about
what I do.
Penis.
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 Penis. All right. And that was chapter 19. Please join us next week when we will be discussing chapter 20 entitled Dangerous Gifts.
And if you'd like to join us to continue the conversation, you can find us at www.outlanderpod.com/group.
Again, a special thanks to co-producer Tori H. Now, what is a co-producer, you might ask? A co-producer is someone who supports us in a very special way on Patreon. They are our $10 a month supporter. And you can find out more about what this means, what we have different levels. So, you know, $10 is the highest. I believe one is the lowest. You can go read about more and what each level means, what it's called, and just find out if you're interested at patreon.com/outlanderpod.
And if you are interested in wearing my art on your face or your body or drink out of something that has my art on it, you can go to, and not just my art, our art. It's the Outlander Pod art. You can go to www.outlanderpod.com/shop.
And thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.